This is 7-5 Radio with Walter Yerkew and Peter Scoop Stanton. This is the radio show that will break your neck if your neck needs breaking. And here are the hosts of 7-5 Radio, Walter Yerkew, star of the biggest documentary movie ever made, The 7-5, and Peter Scoop Stanton, who starred in To Catch a Predator.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, one and all. This is Peter Scoop Stanton with Walter Yerkew. You are listening to 7-5 Radio on the Liberty News Radio Network. Walt, how are we doing today?
No, I'm doing pretty good, my friend. Doing pretty good. It's really badass weather down here in the Southern Tennessee studios. It's horrible out there. But then again, it's fall, and I guess that's the way it's supposed to be.
Yep, this is my favorite time of the year.
We're recording Thursday, it's Halloween, so happy Halloween to all you goblins and ghouls and ghosts out there. Be careful.
Right. Well, we record on Halloween, but it's 2 days after the fact. Folks, we hope that your kid gets over the stomach illness from eating too much candy. But anyways, let's go first order of business. We want to remember the law enforcement officers serving our nation that were murdered in the line of duty. Deputy Sheriff Brian Ishmael of the El Dorado County, California Sheriff's Office, end of watch October 23rd, 2019. He was going to a 911 call for a report of stolen marijuana plants. When he arrived on the scene, gunfire ensued. He was shot and killed. His perpetrator was shot and wounded and is in custody, is still breathing. Also, we want to remember Detention Officer Gene Lee of the Maricopa County Sheriff's Office in Arizona. End of watch, October 30th, 2019. Officer Lee was attacked by an inmate in the one of the facilities in Maricopa County. His offender is still alive and breathing. Anyways, Walt, next order of business. What do you think of Joe Biden, former Vice President Joe Biden?
Creepy Joe.
Yep.
You know, he's doing his darndest to try and look good in front of the rest of the world is really needing to be the next president of the United States. You know, there's too many... too many attachments to this Ukrainian thing with him and his sons and the contracts and such like that. You know, not that he was a very good vice president. He kind of sucked as a vice president. But he's not the man for the United States, you know, for Republican or Democrat. But, you know, like it was 4 years ago, you know, if that's all they got, you know, put him up there and, you know, make him look silly. You know, Hillary looks stupid. You know, she was counting her chickens before they hatched on election day, 3 years ago. And Biden is not going to do anything for this country except make more money for his son and the contractors, that the private contractors. You know, his boss sent over how many trillions of dollars to the Middle East to keep them quiet? And look what Mr. Trump has had to do. He's had to go over there and take care of business. So finally,
right.
And of course, you know, he's the president. He doesn't have to tell anybody what he's doing. That's why we elected him. So he doesn't. Oh, Mr. Yerkew, this is Donald Trump. I'm going to go over to the Middle East and I'm going to whack out the new ISIS leader. Oh yeah, okay, Don, no problem. Go ahead. He doesn't need to do that to anybody. You know, that's why he's the president. You know, nobody complained when we shot down MiGs that were invading our allies' territories. They woke up Ronald Reagan at 3 o'clock in the morning, and he says, what are you calling me for? Fine. And he rolled over and went back to sleep. You know, these are things that the president is allowed to do. And, of course, you know, like we said, we record on Thursday, and they're having this ordering of this impeachment resolution on Mr. Trump. Still, you know, Nancy Pelosi is going to look real stupid. I know we were just talking about Biden, but Nancy Pelosi is going to look real stupid in January of 2021, after Mr. Trump's next inauguration, you know how they surround the desk in the Oval Office and he's signing the new laws, you know, as the president, and da, 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 and they're all looking for the pens, you know, with the law that he just signed in on. You know, Nancy Pelosi was like a prom date in January of 2017 on which pen she wanted. You know, whether she wanted to put it up inside her or down in her bra, whatever it was, she made a really big deal about what pen she got and what pen she didn't want. She's going to look really stupid standing out in the hallway. You know, can I come in now? Can I come in now? And Mr. Trump is going to hold his hand up and say, no, you can't come in. Stay out there. You know, so sorry we went from Biden to Pelosi, but this is what's on my screen now. So, but it's, and Biden also, you know, Biden's another jerk off. You know, it's early in the show. You don't want me to get me ranting yet too much. We got a lot to cover.
Right.
But Nancy Pelosi is what, 81, 82? And
she's in her 70s.
And Biden is what, 78, 9?
He's in his mid 70s. He's like 75, 76.
Yeah. So, you know, Mr. Trump is the right person for the job for the next 4 years. After that, it's going to remain to be seen, you know, because we don't know too much about Mr. Pence. You know, except he's a good Christian man. He's from I was going to say the Middle East, but the United States on the East Coast. He's from that area. Or is it South Carolina, North Carolina he came from?
Indiana. He's a former governor of Indiana.
Oh, no, it's that Kane that I was thinking of that ran with Clinton. My bad. Sorry, Mr. Pence. But, you know, we don't know too much about him. And we'll see what these next 4 years bring, you know, maybe four more prosperous years, you know, for the United States to get back on its feet. Anyway, Mr. Biden is, you know, creepy Joe, touchy feely, always got his hands on the shoulder of people, squeezing the arm squeezes. You know, it's really creepy. It's creepy. You know, if I did that in my workplace, forget about it. I'd have sexual harassment charges all over me. And you know, he's not kissing babies. You know, kissing babies was a political it was like a given. You know, Mr. Lincoln went out kissing babies, and Mr. Roosevelt went out and he kissed babies. You know, I believe that they kissed babies, but there wasn't any tongue involved.
Right. So. Well, anyways, here's another reason why we could despise, detest the disgusting Joe Biden. Back in December 2014, President Obama sent Biden to the funeral of Detective Rafael Ramos. As we all know, him and his partner, Wen Jianlu, were shot and killed in their cruiser. So he's there talking to his mother, his wife, and the kids, saying what a great guy Ramos was. He's praising him. And we're going to continue on the other end of this break. Walter has sucked up too much of our time talking about Pelosi and what an awful man Joe Biden is. But we'll tell you why, especially if you're in the law enforcement community. Stay tuned. This is 75 Radio.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
Have we realized the assault against our lives, our liberties, our faith? To defeat this assault, Christians, and all people of goodwill should have strategies to prevail in our faith and principles, which are simple. No need for a complex formula. One goal, one aim. A strategy like the heroic Christians of the past. We win, they lose. Nothing less. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm by a friend of Medjugorje. The strategy of heaven revealed. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm. Available on Amazon.com or by calling Caritas in the U.S. at 205-672-2000.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues that affect the American West, its people, lifestyles, lands, and wildlife. The Loving Liberty Radio Network is proud to support the publisher's efforts to provide an active forum for solutions that preserve the vanishing American cowboy, farmer, and sheepherder. Each issue contains informative articles on life in the American West, along with breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of the cowboy spirit in our day. Each issue of Range Magazine also features great gift ideas, like the 2020 Real Buckaroo Calendar and the book Tales from Out There. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Just click on the shopping cart. The Loving Liberty Radio Network salutes the spirit of the American West and those who are keeping it alive at Range Magazine.
You're back, and Scoop is just getting back from posting insults on Twitter. This is still 7-5 Radio.
And we are back talking about former Vice President and presidential candidate Joe Biden. What a wonderful friend of law enforcement he is. As I was saying back in December 2014 at the funeral of Detective Rafael Ramos, the Vice President was praising Ramos, his partner Detective Lou, New York's finest. He was speaking personally to Mrs. Ramos, Detective Ramos's mother, saying what a great guy he was, what a great department the NYPD is, and he's been to many law enforcement funerals, which I kind of find hard to believe, and so on and so forth. Fast forward to 2019, where he's at a rally of about 500 people, as compared to Trump's 50,000 plus at every rally. And a black college student asked the vice president, if he was her daughter, how would she act when she gets pulled over by the police? So the vice president proceeded to put his place foot in mouth for the 1 millionth and one time, and said that, well, if you're my daughter, you would be a Caucasian female, and you would not get pulled over by police. And he went on to say that the police still practices institutional racism. Well, you know, that just tells me that Joe Biden is a typical politician. He speaks from both sides of his mouth. He'll go over and praise, a fallen officer whose body he's standing in front of to the family of the fallen officer, and praise the tens of thousands of members of the service from agencies around the country outside the church. But then again, he's going to tell some black female that, well, if you're my daughter, you'd be white and you wouldn't get pulled over because cops are racist. Well, which one is it, Mr. Vice President? You know, to me, Joe Biden just sees law enforcement as the help. This is despite the fact most of his adult life he had one form of law enforcement protection or another protecting him, courtesy of us, the taxpayer. When he was a member of the Senate, he had the U.S. Capitol Police patrolling the halls of Capitol Hill. I do not know if he was assigned a protective detail, as Capitol Police do have protectees for certain people based on their rank in the in the Congress and any credible threats. For example, Speaker of the House will always have protective details. That's because, you know, they're the Speaker of the House and people want to do bad things to them, which is fine. Also, when Joe Biden was the vice president presidential candidate and then vice president, and to this current day, he has protection from the United States Secret Service. So anyways, he's got cops around him, you know, all of his, most of his adult life, or most of his adult life. And, you know, and he says that there's institutional racism. Now, mind you, Detective Ramos was a Hispanic gentleman, and Detective Liu was a child of Chinese immigrants. He was an Asian American. So, but anyways, this is not the first time Biden has just disrespected law enforcement. There's numerous allegations that Biden, when he was at the vice president's residency at the Naval Observatory and at his home in Delaware, he used to like to go in the pool and swim naked. This was with staffers and female Secret Service around. And again, rumor has it that over this agent's two-way radio, when you heard the word Cobra, that's to let everybody know, hey, the vice president's swimming naked again. Also, there's also a rumor of a Christmas party hosted by the vice president that he was getting fresh with a female guest of a Secret Service agent. We don't know if it's a wife of her girlfriend. So anyways, the agent was absolutely enraged and almost started a fight with the vice president until he was removed, and he was subsequently suspended. But that's what we're dealing with in terms of the vice president's former vice president running for U.S. president. Well, any more comments about Creepy Joe before we go to our next story?
Just to all the parents out there that are going to meet Mr. Biden for whatever reason, whether they like him or not, get a babysitter for your kids and leave them at home.
Right. Anyways, Dateline New York. A member of the service shot and killed a man last week while trying to arrest another man in a nail salon, nail and hair salon. Meanwhile, a scuffle erupted. The man was shot because he threw a chair at an officer, which was critically wounded. He was placed in a medically induced coma till he was able to recover. And then on J Street in Metro Tech Center in Brooklyn at 02:30 in the morning, Saturday morning, a brawl breaks out amongst the African-American youth community, and New York's finest responded in force. And as they're trying to subdue some individuals for disorderly conduct amongst assault and battery, amongst other things, somebody, of course, doesn't want to go to jail, so a sergeant decided to punch one of the mopes in the face. And once the mope was punched in face, guess what? He stopped resisting. So, of course, the sergeant involved at Metro Tech Center, he still has his gun and shield, and he's still on the road, as they say, but he's been transferred. And of course, the incident in with the nail salon, where a perp was shot and killed after he threw a chair, almost killed a cop. Some loser from the New York City Legal Aid Society, not the Bronx Defenders, but from the Legal Aid Society, talked about how the police shot four unarmed people. And of course, if you go on our Twitter page, our unofficial Twitter page, I let this lady have it. But with that being said, a former member of the service, retired, started a blog. His name is Mr. E. And somebody, he posted something that supposedly a current member of the service sent to the media. It's pretty long. I'm going to read it and try to keep out the dirty language. When I was a kid, I see my dad come home with his gun and shield, and I was beyond intrigued. He was not only my hero, but the city's. I couldn't wait to grow up and be a cop, just like my dad and my older brother. I didn't know what the pay or benefits were. I just wanted to help people. Fast forward 20-plus years, and here I am, except I'm the O1's hero. I'm actually the enemy. It wasn't until I graduated the academy, went out on the street, I realized, wow, where the F am I? Dead bodies, homicides, drugs, guns. At first, it was fun, a cat and mouse game. I get the bad guy off the street and it saved the city. As the years progressed and the neighborhoods I worked in got worse, slowly the bad guy I hunted transitioned. He was no longer a bad guy with a gun in his baggy pants. He was me. I was hated by every single person I encountered, no matter what I did. There were days I'd get my ass kicked, days I'd get murderers and rapists off the street. It didn't matter. As a white Irish cop, the devil, it didn't matter I tried in vain to give CPR to a dying baby. I was still the enemy a minute later. But at the end of the day, the bad guys still feared us, and that's all that mattered. Fast forward to the liberal anti-cop movement, city councils, CCRB, Al Sharpton. Nobody gave a crap that every night I saw a different black man take a bullet. They just cared that it was not mine. Now, I get in trouble for cursing? What? If you're wrestling with a mope with a gun, are you going to curse? Are you going to fight back? Of course. I'm human. Suddenly, though, I can't even be human. Those rights that are demanded by these protesters, well, they're everyone's but mine. And we're going to be right back at the other end of this break to read this blog by this member of the service about the current state of policing in New York City. Then we'll see how different it is from back then in Walter's day, my day, and the current day. This is 75 Radio on Liberty News Radio Network.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
The first formal vote on an impeachment investigation in the U.S. House is going to happen shortly on Capitol Hill, as the U.S. House Rules Committee did pass a resolution late last night that includes the establishment of procedures for the investigation, including public hearings. Republicans offered up a slew of amendments. Democrats shot most of them down. Wildfires are still scorching California, north and south. In Northern California, the Kincaid Fire is finally about 45% contained. Cal Fire spokesman Tom Porter says it is still just only a wake-up call to just how bad this fire season's probably going to be.
We've had a long and slow season thus far before all of this, and this has been kind of the point at which we've really turned on our season.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Hello, this is Wayne Allyn Root, relentless conservative warrior, middle-class warrior, and always Trump warrior. I have a message for my fellow patriots across America. President Trump is making America great again. He's the only president in my lifetime who is keeping his promises, and his biggest promise is to build that wall. President Trump could only do it with our help. If Congress won't fund Trump's wall, we will. President Trump is one man against the world, and what globalists and socialists around the world want is clear, open borders. It's time to take a stand. We either build the wall, or it's the end of the greatest nation in world history ever blessed by God. That's why I founded the Root for the Wall PAC. 63 million Trump voters together will raise the money President Trump needs for the wall. Anyone who donates $100 or more will get a beautiful commemorative wall brick. Display it proudly. Call 844-ROOT-WALL. That's toll-free, 844-ROOT-WALL, or go to rootwall.com. We will build this wall together. Call 844-ROOT-WALL or go to rootwall.com. Root for the Wall PAC, paid for and responsible for the content of this message, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. rootwall.com.
More on the Democratic-led House impeachment inquiry resolution that's to see action in a little while on Capitol Hill. White House advisor Kellyanne Conway, the latest administration member to weigh in on this action by Democrats.
Why not just afford the president and other witnesses the due process protections from the beginning?
A general says the U.S. is on alert for retribution attacks after the raid and the death of ISIS leader Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi over the weekend in Syria. General Frank McKenzie says it would be a mistake to conclude that ISIS has been defeated. First-time jobless claims are on the rise week to week. They hit about 218,000 last week, 5,000 more than the previous week. For the first time in franchise history, the Washington Nationals are World Series champions, with last night's win over the Astros in Houston in Game 7. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
With a
Wow, you're still listening? Here's more 7-5 Radio.
All right, we are back. We're reading a blog entry from a member of the NYPD going from the rookie cop thinking he's going to solve the crime and save the city to becoming the old angry grizzled cop. I swore I'd never become that cop, that old angry numb, socially uncouth cop. Well, now I make that cop look like Mother Teresa. There's only so much a person can take before they shut down. No one calls 911 for good things. It's a daily roller coaster of bad to horrific, and it never gets better. You take this job, and you know there's a chance you can die, obviously. But you think of it as, okay, I'm in this gun battle with a bank robber, and I die in glory. You don't sign up for the, I'm going to be sitting in my patrol car, eating lunch, and get executed from behind. Give me a chance. Give me a chance to fight back, you effing coward. They never had a chance, and it eats me up inside. I'm sick over it. I don't know them, but I know them. They're me, I'm them. I play it over and over again in my head, and it makes me sick. Yeah, that heartless animal murdered them, but he didn't act alone. The city of New York, run by his disgraceful mayor, Bill de Blasio, murdered them too. Here's a man who stands in front of a city and tells them he's afraid his son will get killed by a cop. All the while, he has cops guarding his son 24/7. He enticed a race war. He allows a city to protest for a criminal and chant they want dead cops. Well, they got what they wanted, didn't they? Right before Christmas, two funerals. A husband, a father, a son. Every single day at work, I encounter real bad guys. And guess what? They know they've won. They know we are hesitant. That fear is gone. Now that the fear is in us. I have two little kids at home. I'm going to leave them parentless for what? A city that hates me, condemns me, leave my spouse a single parent for a city that spits on me? It's not worth it anymore. I don't know what's going to happen, but I do know this. You can curse us, spit on us, even fight us. But the day you kill us is the day you'll wake a sleeping giant. We were executed. We won't be executed again. We are in hell right now, but if you think we're going to sit back and get murdered, you're wrong. Their blood is on de Blasio's hands. He has single-handedly divided the city. Not just black and white, but black and blue. He stands next to Sharpton, a man who has professed his anti-white, anti-Semitic rants for decades. It's egregious. Despicable, it's almost like I'm in a different world. When the F did I become the bad guy? When the F did they let bad guys run the city? So I never got to become that hero like my dad, but I got to share the same uniform as two of them, Ramos and Lou. Remember their names. They were murdered by the city of New York, the great city that I swore to protect, that never protected us back. Their execution will live heavy in my heart forever. I've officially lost faith in my mankind, but I haven't lost faith in God. As I get dressed every day and put my vest on, I say prayer to God. Lead us to a place, guide us with your grace, to a place where I'll be safe. I don't need a hero anymore. I just want to go home. Well, your thoughts?
All I can do is say amen, brother. You know, there's too many incidents in New York City. I mean, it's not just the ones that you see on the news, the ones that become popular in social media. You know, there's incidents every minute of every day in New York City. You know, it's a city of 7 million people, 30,000, 35,000 cops, 10,000 cops on duty at any given time. You know, do the arithmetic, people. A lot of those 10,000 cops that are on duty 8 hours a day, masses, which I mean, you know, cops that don't want to go out on the street because of crap that's going on now. You know, you got property officers, you got warrant officers, you got detectives that are in, you know, so there's not 10,000 cops on the street. You know, you're looking at maybe 7,000 cops on the street at any given time. for a city of 7 million? You know, that's astronomical ratio numbers. And of those 7 million, a lot of them aren't nice people. A lot of them got nothing better to do than disrupt the lives of everybody. And it's like throwing a rock in the middle of a puddle. You know, the repercussions just go on and on and on. I mean, if you fart upwind, you get in trouble. You know, if you shoot a guy who's shooting at you and kill him, you get in trouble. You know, cops don't want to do this anymore. The old timers that were on the job, you know, that after I got off in the late 80s, you know, the guys that had 20 years on the job, 25 years on the job, man, they're just sick of it. I talked to some of them. I know many of them. It's just horrible the way people react when you show up to a chaotic situation. Number one, cops don't know who his enemy is because there's enemies in the crowd. And there's, you know, I guess you can call friendly people in the crowd. But, you know, if the crowd turns against the cop, the friendly people in the crowd aren't going to stop them. There's no savior there. I did an interview 28 years ago for Frontline. And the last words I said on that before the commercial came was, it's us against them. And it is. It's that way now. It's us against them. There ain't no way that when you pull out up to a scene and you get out of a car and you're the police officer, of course they're looking at you for help. But they're also looking at you as the enemy because they think of all the stuff that they've seen on social media the past 10 years that you're not there to help. You're there to make it worse. And, you know, it's hard to get somebody to tell you what exactly is going on at the scene and who the bad guys are because they don't want to give each other up. It doesn't matter if you're good, bad, or indifferent. They don't like you. They don't want you. And cops are getting pissed off, and they're human, just like you said. You know, human. They're not machines. And the day that you have a machine show up at your house to help you, you're not going to get any help. You know, a cop is supposed to be blind to anything that's going on in front of him as far as racism, you know, except good and bad. You know, if a cop sees somebody doing something bad against somebody, it might be the good guy doing the bad against the bad guy. He just didn't see it yet. He didn't know it. Now he's protecting the bad guy because the bad guy is getting the snot beat out of him. You know,
right?
They can only handle what they see and what they know. You know, just because you call 911 and you say somebody's getting beat up, by the time the cop gets there, it might be reversed, might be the good guy on top. You know, so, you know, you just don't know what the situation is, but they report it on social media. And, of course, then it's in the court of CNN's opinion. And the cop is convicted. Oh, this officer needs to be arrested. He needs to be indicted. He needs to be suspended. He needs to be fired. You know, right away, they're going after the guy's livelihood. You know, cops, you know, most cops are doing their job out there on the street. You know, of course, there's, you know, some bad apples, you know, or raise my hand, I'm one of them. But, you know, besides me being a bad apple, when I showed up on the scene at your problem, I helped you. I helped you. And I know what it's like to get out of a car and nobody trusting you. Because when I said that in the early 90s, about the 80s, it was us against them. And them being the general public. Because you didn't know who your friends were. You had to consider everybody an enemy until you knew who your friend was at the scene. And it's just horrible that, you know, young men and women have to go through this. It's a war zone. Everybody has a freaking gun. Everybody has a phone. Everybody has a video. Everybody has a camera. You know, everybody has everything they need except knowledge of what's going on. So they'll take a picture of it. And, you know, it might be something that the cop actually did wrong. You know, there's videos of cops doing absolutely the wrong thing. Absolutely. But then there's videos of the cops doing exactly the right thing, but you never see those. You never see
right.
those. If he's doing the right thing, they flip it that, oh, well, he probably shouldn't have done that. You know, so you know, damned if you do, damned if you don't. But, you know, like the old saying is, and you heard this in the police academy, it's better to be tried by 12 than carried by 6. And that's what you need to do. Better to be tried by 12 than carried by 6. You know, even if it means jail. Because, like you said, I don't want to make my kids an orphan, fatherless, because of some mutt out there on the street that's got 10 baby mamas and stuff like that. Enough said on that for me. Go ahead, take it away, Scoop.
Right. Well, Walt, do you think, what? of course, interrupted by my own bumper. Anyways, we'll finish it up about what could be done and some other odds and ends before we shut it down for the week. This is 7-5 Radio on Libby News Radio. Thank you, everybody.
I'd advise Mr. Trump to stop whining and go try to make his case to get votes.
The press has created a rigged system. They even want to try and rig the election.
Well, I tell you what, it helps in Ohio that we got Democrats in charge of the machines.
And poisoned the mind of so many of our voters.
At the polling booths, where so many cities are corrupt and voter fraud is all too common. And then they say, oh, there's no voter fraud in our country.
I come from Chicago. So I want to be honest. It's not as if it's just Republicans who have monkeyed around with elections in the past. Sometimes Democrats have too. You know, whenever people are in power, they have this tendency to try to, you know, tilt things in their direction.
There's no way.
You start whining before the game's even over. Whenever things are going badly for you and you lose, you start blaming somebody else. And you don't have what it takes to be in this job.
Hi, I'm Patty, wife of former Congressman Steve Stockman. In Congress, Steve sought impeachment of Eric Holder for his corruption of the Justice Department and his fast and furious gun running that caused Border Agent Brian Talley's death. Steve called for arrest of Lois Lerner for her contempt of Congress as it investigated her targeting of conservative nonprofit groups. After 4 years, 4 grand juries, and millions of tax dollars, Steve Stockman is in prison. His case involved 4 checks to nonprofits. DOJ has one standard for Hillary Clinton, but another for folks like President Trump and my husband. We've spent all our savings, all Steve's retirement, and much of mine. Steve Stockman has fought for you and America. Won't you join me now to fight for Steve? To help, text FIGHT to 444-999. Text FIGHT to 444-999 or go to defendapatriot.com. defendapatriot.com.
Hi, I'm Dave. I'm 7 years old. I'm sitting here in the corner having a time out until Mom comes to talk to me. All I did was cut my sister's hair. I was just trying to help. I guess Mom didn't like how I did it. In a minute, she'll be back and ask me if I know what I did was wrong. Maybe I shouldn't have cut her hair. And she'll say we all make mistakes because we're just learning about stuff. And she'll give me a hug and we'll end up talking about more stuff.
No matter what you talk to your kids about, love is what they'll hear.
I really like Mom's timeouts, and I think she likes them too. Yeah, I think they help her remember how much she loves me.
A thought from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Visit us at Mormon.org.
This is 7-5 Radio with Walter Yuku. I mean, Walter Yurkow. I mean, Walter Kiwi. Here's Walton Scoop.
Thank you, Mr. Edwards. And happy 15th anniversary to the political cesspool. Anyways, we're talking about what can be done about the us versus them mentality against friendlies and bogeys. When I worked the NYPD, it was under Giuliani. Giuliani, Brett, and Jack Maple, and a whole host of other people came up the idea of courtesy, professionalism, and respect. What it was simply, my opinion, Theodore Roosevelt's "Speak softly, carry a big stick." Yeah, we're told treat people courtesy, be professionalism, and show respect. Yeah, and we did that until otherwise. Just like the movie Roadhouse, be nice till it's time not to be nice, and then you take care of business. And also, Mayor Giuliani and his predecessor Mike Bloomberg, you know, they told the cops, go do your job. Now we have Mayor Bloomberg, who told cops, nah, don't stop and frisk. Then we got the district attorney saying, no, we're not going to convict people for TOS or theft of service, or, you know, hopping the turnstile. We're not going to prosecute pot crimes. We're not going to, prosecute. We're going to do nothing. We're going to let these people run free, and that's what you get. So you got to vote for people who's going to stand up behind the cops and let the cops do their job. Now, with that being said, this upcoming Tuesday, November 5th, is Election Day. Now, it's very important that everybody goes out and vote, because Election Day is the one day of the year to let your voice truly be heard. And it's not just not the presidential elections, the school board election, dog catch election, local municipal elections, councilman, councilwoman, county supervisor, and so on and so forth, especially school board elections. Because if we don't vote in school board elections, we get boys playing girl sports, boys using the girls' bathroom, kids taught that America was a country founded by dead white slave owners, and America's an evil place. Kids are taught that the gay lifestyle is perfectly okay. And then the school boards can spend whatever they want with no regard to us, the taxpayers, which is, trust me, I live in Northern Virginia, and the taxes are killing us, and there's just no end in sight. And, of course, these kids get a school day at the drop of a hat. Also, in your local elections, if you don't vote, well, guess what? You get these sanctuary cities, the sanctuary counties, you know, where the illegal immigrant has more rights than the cop. You get high taxes. You get bad schools. You get failing infrastructure. You get bad policing. You know, you get cops coming and something happens, like, oh, no one can do about it. Well, he's firing off rounds in a street. Well, unfortunately, the mayor, the city council, whatever, said that's perfectly fine. Also, if you don't vote in local elections, you get bad prosecuting attorneys or bad district attorneys, or where I live in Virginia, bad Commonwealth attorneys. You get district attorneys like up in New York, where they let every 10-time loser go free, and then try to nail every cop that is accused of wrongdoing. They try to nail them to the cross. So again, it's very important to vote in every single election. Like I say every week, you can make a difference. Go out and make it this next Tuesday. Go out and vote. And of course, do not vote Democrat. You want to vote Democrat? Guess what? You might as well move to Baltimore, Philadelphia. Go move back to New York, move back to anywhere, New Jersey or Chicago, or anything like that. Any closing thoughts about, we talked about the police, local elections, or anything like that?
No, I think we covered it pretty well. I think we covered what we set out to this week.
Right. And I'm going to put that blog post up on the website, hopefully sooner than later. But anyways, final thought, breaking news from the New York Times. Always feminine hygiene company is removing the female symbol from sanitary pads. Redesign to remove a symbol, a female symbol, was a response to requests from non-binary and transgendered customers. I guess non-binary customers are somebody who says, well, I don't identify as a male or female, even though, you know, there might be a female in Mother Nature's takes its course. But for transgendered, what would a transgendered person need with a feminine hygiene product? Well, you got anything, any idea why a transgendered person or a man, you know, more or less a man that dresses up a woman, would need with a feminine hygiene product?
Not a clue, man.
Anyways, I'll read this real quick. For over 35 years, Always has championed girls and women, and we will continue to do so, the company said in a statement. We're also committed to diversity and inclusion, and on our continual journey to understand the needs of all of our consumers. Again, if you're a trainee and you're buying Always products, it's just a waste of money. The move followed efforts by some customers who menstruate but do not identify as female to push Always to abandon the symbol. It was applauded by some on social media for its sensitivity to the mental health of a wider range of customers. Steph the Normand, a patient advocate for transgender health at Fenway Health, used a pronoun they, told NBC that seeing female-coded imagery while purchasing menstrual products could create a sense of distress for customers. Trans and non-binary folks are constantly misgendered, and a gesture like this can broaden out the experiences and open up spaces to those who need the products, they said. Again, why would a transgendered male need a female product? I just don't get it. But anyways, the redesign was just the latest in a series of actions by companies to be more inclusive of customers who are transgender, genderqueer, or non-binary. And then Lyft began allowing customers to share their pronouns. MasterCard also announced that it would permit customers to use their chosen name instead of the legal name on their credit cards. Well, there's no chance of identity theft or fraud right there. But anyways, I'm going to see if Always will advertise here on Liberty News Radio, as we have a predominantly male listener base. But unfortunately, we have zero trainees listening to 7-5 radio. But, I mean, again, folks, this is why you need to go out and vote. You need to go out and do something. And you know what? Since all of our 99% of our fan base is male, all right, tell your wives, your girlfriends, your mothers, or whatever, don't buy Always products because, again, transgendered customers, transgendered females, which are nothing but males dressing in drag, they want to make sure there's not a female symbol on a product specifically for females. I mean, I cannot think of any other reason why a male would need to buy this product unless they have some leakage somewhere else that we don't want to get into, or soak up some oil in the driveway as they're doing work on their hot rod. Well, you got any comments on the Always products?
No.
Wow. Nope. I mean, good grief.
Hey, I want to close this thing real quick. We got a couple of minutes. I want to congratulate the Washington Nationals for winning the World Series the other day. My picks, I did very well this year in the Major League playoffs. The only team that lost the series was my New York Yankees. But I did pick the Yankees and the Nats to play the World Series. Of course, the Yankees would have prevailed. But when the Nets made it to the World Series and the Houston Astros, I did pick the Nationals. I picked them in 7 games. And I did pretty well this year. If I was a betting man, I could have retired today. But congrats to the Nationals. I understand that Mr. Scoop, my partner in crime here on 7-5 Radio, was outside the stadium when they let out. So tell us a little bit about the 40,000 people that were watching on the big screen.
Well, it was about 30,000 people. Then as the game was coming closer to the end and Washington took the lead, people were actually driving towards South Capitol Street where the stadium is located to partake in the celebrations. So I was driving for Uber, of course, and M Street, which is the main thoroughfare that crosses South Capitol Street, was just absolutely mobbed with people. People are just yelling and screaming, hooting and howling. They're running up and down just screaming that the Nationals won. But my thing is, all right, congratulations to the Nationals. But, you know, when you get a job promotion, you get a new job, when you your family has a new baby, the Washington Nationals are not going to come to your house to celebrate the moment unless you are another member of said Washington Nationals. But a good time was had by all. I made a couple coins for Uber. Because of course, right after the game got done and they gave out the trophies and everybody's done hooting and hollering, they they needed a ride home because they just didn't want to take take the bus or the take the train. But anyways, folks, that's another great episode in the can. This is Peter Scoop Stanton for Walter Yurko reminding you, you can make a difference. Go out and make it. And do not buy always feminine hygiene products. So long, everybody.
James Edwards for 7-5 Radio. For those who work the streets and the jails, thanks for keeping us safe. So long, everybody.